Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever heard the names Richard Stockton, John Morton, Button Gwinnett, John Hart, or William Floyd? These five names are among the men who lost everything. They lost everything because they chose to stand against tyrannical governing authorities thousands of miles away by adopting and signing the Declaration of Independence in 1776, 250 years ago. In all, of the 56 signers of the Declaration, 9 of them died of wounds suffered during the war. 5 of them were captured or imprisoned. Some of them had family members, wives and children, killed or jailed or left penniless. 12 of the signers had their homes burned to the ground. 17 others of those 56 completely lost everything that they owned. Many of those signers of the Declaration 250 years ago never saw the end of the Revolutionary War. They never saw the victory. Many of them only saw extreme loss. Extreme loss. It has been pretty great to see some of the festivities and celebration of the 250th anniversary that have taken place over the last few days, including the very gutsy performance of the American soccer team in the World Cup this past week, which has been incredibly fun to watch. I don't know if you've been watching or not, but it's been incredibly fun to watch. Now, I'll say, and you probably know this, that the U.S. men's soccer team has never been known for its worldly success, has it? You know, much of their history has been on the losing side of things on the soccer field. Tomorrow night, we get to cheer them on again, and hopefully to achieve another rare win and moving forward for our boys in the red, white, and blue. Hopefully you'll be watching. I know Hayes and I will be. Well, friends, I note these two things. The signers of the Declaration of Independence who lost so much, and the history of the U.S. men's soccer team who has lost so much, as we wrap up this short sermon series we've been doing on unexpected joys. It began a few weeks ago with the unexpected joy of aging well. If you remember, Father Arthur encouraged us with the difference between aging and getting older. And we continued over the last couple of weeks with the unexpected joys of obedience and discipline, which really can be joyful when we consider them in and through the lenses of being obedient in our spiritual practices, our spiritual disciplines through Scripture. And now today we finish with the unexpected joy of losing well. Losing well. Losing is the was the reality for so many of those signers of the Declaration, simply because they never saw the end of the war. It's been the history of the U.S. men's soccer team. We know that. But here's the reality of losing, is that losing isn't really something that Americans do well. It's not something we do well. None of us likes to lose. None of us wants to lose. We want to win. We have this innate desire to be better than everyone else. And if not everyone else, then at least someone else. At everything. At everything. I want to have a prettier flower garden than my neighbors. I want to have a nicer lawn. I want a bigger truck. I want a more luxurious car. I want my investments to beat the stock market. I want to see the tears of my opponents. I want to exert my strength and my dominance over someone else. I want to win. I'll never grow tired of winning all the time. The examples of so many of those signers of the Declaration are not examples of winning big, not dominating over others, but rather their example is that of giving up everything in order to help others to have a better life. The example of the U.S. men's soccer team is not that of constant winning on the athletic fields, but never giving up, constantly going back out and competing for the larger prize, playing for one another and playing for country. And then, friends, and then we have the even greater and better example in that of the apostle, the great apostle who lost so much, St. Paul. St. Paul, as many of us know, was on the winning side previously in his life, in his younger days. And all he wanted to do was what he perceived to be right. To subdue what others saw as good, because, no, that's not right. That's not my way. Paul was a Pharisee. He was a teacher. He was very, very ambitious. He was strong-willed. And then, on that road to Damascus, Paul was quite literally knocked down. He was knocked down off of that high horse. Paul was blinded. He was sent to his knees. And Paul lost everything that he knew. Lost everything that he knew because he was transformed by the Lord in his life. He lost everything, but gained so much more in the loss. Consider something else of what St. Paul said, this time in his letter to the Philippians, the church in Philippi. In chapter 3, Paul writes, "Whatever were gains to me, whatever used to be a gain for me, I now consider to be a loss for the sake of Christ. And what is more, I consider everything to be a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." For whose sake I have lost all things, and all things I consider garbage, because I know and gain Christ. This is the biblical perspective on winning and losing. Paul says that all things that were winning in his life are now garbage. They are the things like the lawn and the cars and the investment accounts. Fleeting things, temporary things, things that bring happiness instead of joy. Things that occupy our minds and our attentions. And he says that what was formerly losing, that is, pain, suffering, and death, are now what it actually means to win. Because of Jesus' pain, suffering, and death on the cross. And moreover, winning through his victory over death in the resurrection from the dead. But today we also see something else. We see something further than that. We also see from St. Paul that he struggled throughout his whole life with winning and losing. The struggle didn't miraculously go away when he was knocked down off of that high horse, when he went down to his knees. The struggle didn't disappear. In fact, the struggle was stronger. The struggle was more intense in his life. And we see that in Romans chapter 7. We see it in Romans 7 where Paul describes himself and the constant battle with sin. Sometimes he could resist the sin, but almost all of the time the sin won. This is a struggle that the great apostle had his entire life. And just before our section this morning, we see Paul writing, he wrote this, "I do not understand my own actions. I do not do what I want. Instead, I do the very thing that I hate." He knows that his sins are ever before him. They're in front of him. And he struggles with those sins. And he acknowledges that a lot of times the sin wins out. He continues writing. He said, "I know that nothing good dwells within me. That is, in my flesh. That is, of myself. I have the desire to do what is right, but I do not have the ability to carry it out. If I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin who dwells within me." Paul knows his sins. They are always before him. He knows them because the law that God has given, the commands, the observances, the regulations given by the Lord to the people of Israel in the Old Testament. Paul knew these very, very well. Paul taught these. He knew every word of every one of them. He had them memorized. He knew them very well. But since he had been transformed by Jesus Christ, he actually knew them even better. He knew them to the full extent of what they are, and he realizes. He finally came to that realization after studying the words, the laws, the observances, after studying them word for word his whole life. It was only now that he finally realized what they truly mean. And he finally realized that it is impossible to keep these laws by himself. Let me repeat that, and let me be completely clear. It is impossible for any one of us, in this life to keep the laws given by God, to keep the Ten Commandments. It is impossible. We heard Paul himself saying that there is a war raging inside of him. And it's a war, a constant battle waging inside of him between recognizing sin and doing the sin or doing what is right. And in that distress, in that war that is raging inside of himself, he acknowledges the wretchedness of himself because of the battles, because sometimes the sin wins. And even more importantly, there is this great acknowledgement by Paul that he cannot be delivered from this war by himself. He needs help. Paul cannot resist the sins. Paul cannot keep the commandments of God by himself. The reality and the intent of the law is more than any of us can do. We need help. We all need help from time to time in the little things and in the big things of life. We need help with car repairs or with homework or with digging a ditch or with cooking a meal, whatever it is. We all need help from time to time. We need help in escaping the clutches of the enemy. We need help to be delivered from sin. We need a Savior. And to acknowledge that I cannot do this by myself, I cannot keep the law, is to acknowledge that I need a Savior. And then to acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ is that Savior is to know that he is the only way that we could possibly be saved or delivered from the wretchedness of our sin. And so therefore, Paul continues. He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In this proclamation of salvation only through Jesus Christ, Paul continues to recognize the enemy of self. The enemy of myself. He knows that salvation comes through Jesus Christ, but he also knows that he will continue to be a sinner throughout his life. The enemy of self is sadistic and cruel and brutally corrupt. The enemy of self is infatuated with giving in to our flesh, giving in to the temptations that constantly surround us, giving in to our appetites, our judgments, our condescension, our lack of compassion, our desires for more, our constant need to win. And we know that we will always be fighting these battles. We know that, don't we? Don't we know that we will always be fighting these battles? But further, do we know that the war has already been won? It has been won through the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ for you. For you. We need no longer to be enslaved by the enemy of self. It is okay to lose. According to the world, Paul lost significantly. According to the world, Jesus lost significantly. According to the world, every one of the disciples lost significantly. But friends, it is in our loss to self that we truly gain eternal reward. And there is no condemnation for those who live in Christ Jesus, asking for his forgiveness from all of those sins that we live in and continually go back to. We have been set free from the bondage of sin and death because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And when we consider then what it truly means to lose to the world, we can then begin to understand such joy in the Holy Spirit to experience true life and true peace. So then, go ahead and lose. Go ahead and lose to the world as often as is needed. Just be sure to do it well. Amen.
My God is slow to anger when I go astray. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. For all of my betrayals, he will not repay. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Through mercy and compassion, his great love is proved. He covers my transgressions like the snow. As far as east from west, are all my sins removed. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He saved me from the pit when I had lost all hope. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. From endless springs of kindness all his blessings flow. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Our days will fade like flowers and are quickly spent. Like the wind our years will come and go. Everlasting favor is his covenant. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Merciful and gracious is my God to me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And I will tell his goodness through eternity. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, you angels, all you heavenly hosts. Every living creature here below. Praise the Father, praise the Son, and Holy Ghost. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And bless the Lord, you angels, all you heavenly hosts. And every living creature here below. Praise the Father, praise the Son, and Holy Ghost. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.